It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the Newcastle Nutter. My name is Fergus Craig and I am joined by Paul Doolan.
Hello.
And Dave Watson.
I'll read.
Well, I can't remember the last time we had a podcast where we were able to talk about a Newcastle United victory. We have had our first win of the season. It was against Burnley. As I understand it, this is how each of us experienced it. Dave, you managed to actually watch the game itself, our first win of the season. Mm-hmm. I missed the entirety of the game and I've only seen the highlights because I was away for a romantic weekend with my common-law wife. And Paul, you didn't see the game live either, our first and only victory of the season. Why was that, Paul?
Well, like a lot of your football fans, I was at an introduction to pottery class. Which the annoying thing is now, because I did that and we won, I might have to look into doing one every week just to try and keep the run going.
This is the thing.
I saw the photographs of your pots and they're pretty good, mate.
It's fun.
I'm surprised you didn't just make an ashtray.
Wow. You sound quite quiet, Paul. Are you hearing that, Dave?
It sounds fine to me.
It's fine. We'll carry on.
That's just pottery shame. That's not a volume issue.
That's all it is. That's just because you're sat right now in amongst 3 ton of ceramics.
But I just thought the only way I'm going to get my hands on any kind of cup as a Newcastle fan is if I craft it myself.
Nice.
No, it was beautiful. A birthday present that I couldn't get out of, and it was good.
But you then went ahead and you managed to stay away from the result and then watched the whole thing.
Yeah, the full 90 minutes, which when it's Newcastle v Burnley, I think that's quite a commitment, knowing you can fast forward through a Burnley game and still not doing it. That feels like more commitment than watching it live.
Oh, certainly. So, Dave?
I thought it was all right. It was a decent, like, it's two teams at the bottom of the table, but it was decent. We created opportunities, certainly in the second half. First half, we weren't really at it. And then second half, we grew into the game more and more and more. And as the game grew, stretched. And I think, importantly, when, was it Cornet, the Burnley... Is it Cornet or Cornet? Cornet. When he went off injured, like 90% of their attacking threat went with him. I thought that allowed us to be a bit more bold with our, you know, in possession. I thought we were good. I thought, we can go and talk about the individual players, but one thing I really wanted to say is you and I, Fergus, were saying that we thought Lascelles would come back into the team because he's the captain, even though we didn't really think he deserved it on form. But actually, he was really good.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the game suited him because it's big and physical, but I thought he played really well, to be fair.
Fair enough. That's nice to hear. Paul, what were your impressions of the game?
I think we were pretty terrible for the first 20 minutes, but that looked more like nerves than anything else. We couldn't really string passes together. But after that, we looked fairly in control. I like the way we were looking for a second as well was quite encouraging. We weren't just, I don't think we're the sort of team who can necessarily predict a one goal lead for that long. But I think the back four looked very decent. Jamal Lewis showed it wasn't just a fluke in the game before. He looks, so far, the last two games, has looked better than anything any of our left backs have done for a long time. I thought Willock wasn't great, but was better than he has been. It's weird, attacking-wise, it's probably worse than we were against Norwich or Brentford, but we didn't need to be that good because we were just defensively so much more solid.
Yeah.
I think the caveat as well is it was a Burnley team that look like they are definitely going down.
You reckon?
Yeah, they were very poor.
They were very poor, and wherever they go, Tarkowski and potentially Ben Mee, there's a lot of talking about them leaving the club leaving Burnley in January. And wherever they go, like regardless of it's us, if it's to us or not, without them, I mean, Tarkowski's their absolute main man, and without him, I think it's too big of an ask. Especially if Cornet is out for any distance, any length of time.
I would imagine, surely those two are going to see out the season. I know the contracts are ending, but they're in a relegation battle. It's much more financially damaging to go down than to lose a player for no transfer fee.
Yeah, I agree.
Those players, that's a pretty mercenary move to move at a club that you've been at for a long time at this stage. It doesn't reflect very well on those players either if they were to push for a move in January.
I don't know, because I think with it, it's reasonable for players like Tarkowski and me to be angling for a move after they've been such a loyal servants to the club for however long they've been there. I don't know, but for them to say, you know, come on, enough's enough. I'm at, like, Tarkowski certainly is a top of the table, like top half of the table.
Wait to the end of the season.
But what about the, like, getting into the World Cup squads? What about, you know, if he's got an opportunity to move now, I don't know, like, why would he put it on hold for half a season?
It's not going to be up to players, though, is it? If you look at it from Burnley's point of view, if they're their best chance of keeping them up, then unless they're offered 120 million quid for the two players, it doesn't financially match what they lose by going down. So they'd be mad to sell them at Christmas. Unless they've got replacements lined up.
You could get a situation like Fraser at Bournemouth, where Fraser wanted a move, didn't get it, so then essentially just down tools. And I'm not saying that Tarkowski...
That did not reflect well on him as a player.
No, that was...
No, no. Career has not gone very well since.
He was technically out of contract by then, but it was then the extra games.
Oh, I see.
Weight-wise, he was out of contract, but there were still more games because of COVID.
And oh, I see.
Very exceptional situation.
Then fine. But it could just be that... You need a motivated and committed Tarkowski and me to stay up. And if they get suitors in January, where it's like, not us, I'm talking like, I don't know, like if Everton come in for them, like Everton are a club that got some very good players, they've got like a very good manager, and they've got aspirations of Europe. If Tarkowski gets that kind of opportunity in January, that could be the last time he gets an opportunity like that. Or like Arsenal, maybe.
I think reading between the lines, Dave, you want Tarkowski to come to us. So even though it doesn't make a load of sense, you've decided there's a logical reason why it would happen.
Honestly,
club is going to go, oh no, we wanted you at Christmas, but now you literally cost nothing. We're not interested.
To be honest, I'd prefer Sven Botman.
Well, we've been linked to Tarkowski.
Yeah, I like Sven Botman. But, I mean, we're getting away from the game. I wanted to mention Almiron.
Sven Botman. Sven Botman sounds like a Harry Enfield porn character.
You guys, because you didn't...
Here it comes. It's me, Sven Botman.
Because you two didn't grow up... You didn't, like, grow up in Newcastle, so you might not know Sven's books. Have you heard of this? No. Sven's Books was an erotic fiction bookstore in the centre of town.
Right.
Yeah. It was quite famous. Well, because it was...
Well, there you go. Well, then it's got even more...
Send him pictures of that instead of the Tyne Bridge. The
bridges. Yeah. Sven's Books. So, I don't know if it... I doubt it's still open because the internet exists, so why would you go into a store to buy porn when... You know.
So we sphered away from the Burnley game.
Oh God, sorry everyone.
we've left the Burnley game for a moment, primarily because me, the host of the podcast, did not see any of it, so I don't really know what questions to ask. Because whilst it was going on, I was finishing off a carafe of Bordeaux on a boulevard.
How fucking middle class are you two? One of you's at an introduction to pottery.
How dare you?
And the other one's sipping a Bordeaux on the Seine.
Yeah, that's quite, right. Yeah, we're both...
You would never be caught drinking wine by a river.
We're going to miss the Leicester game because we're making a tagine together as well.
It's true. What should I be asking before we have a break? We've both got an opportunity to say any final observations.
Well, we should probably talk about the goal. That feels like a big moment.
Yeah.
The goal. Oh, there was a goal. Was that the goal?
I initially worried it was going to get ruled out because VAR. You kind of think any kind of challenge on the goalkeeper does get ruled out, but then you look and realise there is no challenge on the keeper. He's just done something really thick.
Well, it's really interesting. I think it was on Match of the Day where one of the pundits said the further that the goalkeeper gets from the line, from his goal line, the less like protection he'll get from the referee, because it's almost like, well, what are you fucking doing out there anyway? So, if that had happened on the goal line, we might not have received the decision wouldn't have gone our way. But I have to say, cracking awareness by Wilson, the composure by Wilson to take that touch to like almost like pivot around that mess of players and then to stick it into the roof of the net. Beautiful, absolute top tier finishing. He is integral to our chances of staying up, because nobody else on the pitch would have scored that.
Anything else?
Almiron was a lot better. Almiron was a lot better coming in from the right. He had a couple of opportunities. First one was a good save from Pope, and the second one, it took a deflection. Both of them were going in. Both of them were decent finishers, and it's just on another day. So
I think that through ball from Wilson for Almiron as well. It's the first time we've seen Almiron linking up quite well. That I like the look of that as a front three, Almiron, Wilson and Joe Linton. That's a proper pressing unit as well.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie Howe was looking like he was favouring Ryan Fraser, who obviously started in the Norwich game and through no fault of his own, only played 10 minutes, thanks to Kieran Clark. But
still angry about that. Still annoyed at Kieran Clark.
It would end up being quite an injustice if the player who lost his place in the side thanks to that incident was not Kieran Clarke, but Ryan Fraser. Kieran Clarke returns in the next game, but Ryan Fraser's out.
I think that's a tactical decision, because with Ryan Fraser, his talent, his ability is to put crosses into the box. And if there's one thing that the Burnley back four are really fucking comfortable with, is dealing with crosses in the box, apart from Nick Pope that game.
It's nice having a manager who changes the lineup based on who we're playing and their weaknesses.
Yeah.
It's novel.
Interesting.
Get used to that.
So let's have a break now. And after the break, I'm sure we'll get into some of your correspondence on Twitter and I'm sure that'll bring up some more points about the Burnley game and any games that might come in the future. See you in a moment.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
Hello, welcome back to the Newcastle Natter. It's me, your host, Fergus Craig, still here with Dave Watson and Paul Dillon. And how about you guys? I imagine you don't feel the same. But I find it hard to get enthusiastic about podcasts after we've won. I just see like the Newcastle Natter as like just a vent to like moan about stuff. I'll often, contrarian I am, end up moaning about Newcastle fans moaning about us being shit. But like I just like moaning, and we've won. And I didn't see the game, to be fair, but apparently there's things to talk about. Dave, apparently there was a nice piece in The Athletic about Joe Linton you wanted to talk about. Was it nice?
Yeah, it was good. It was, speaking of how, right, fuck off, right? It was good.
Good. Right. Okay. Anything more specific than that?
It was talking about how he's taken it upon himself to improve his game, and he got in touch with his agent, like, you know, the agency that represents him, and they put him in touch with it's called Outlier FC or something like that, and they help players improve their game by dedicated analytics, dedicated suggestions for their coaching, you know, away from the training ground, and how he's come on leaps and bounds because of that extra effort he's putting into the game away from the club. And I just think that's a real mark of his character, and I think he's certainly changing my opinion of him, not just with his improved performances, but when you hear about stuff like that, it suggests that he's not just like, because other big flops just could just take the money. Yeah, other big flops could just like take money. I'm not performing that well. I don't really get on with the management. Fucking fine. I'll pick my money and go. Like Luke is a decent example. But Joe Linton's putting in the graft on pitch and in the training ground and even away from the
It does feel odd to be going into games thinking, I hope Joe Linton doesn't get injured. Yeah. Not that I was going into them before hoping he did, but he feels kind of like a key player now.
Yeah, he's gone from one of the players that you'd roll your eyes at when you saw him on the team sheet and be like, oh, for fuck's sake, well, maybe everybody's injured and that's why he's playing, to now, he's got to be one of the first names.
Well, Felice Flabby Dad on Twitter says, nice. Given that Joe Linton is absolutely, definitely destined for next season's Ballon d'Or, which former Newcastle players would you most like to see given the Eddie Howe treatment? Now, I can already see a narrative building where it's becoming Joe Linton was shit and then Eddie Howe came in and sorted him out as a player. But as a long-term defender of not Steve Bruce, but truth, he has been one of our better players all season, hasn't he?
He's been one of our better players all season, but he has also improved since Howe came in. He's been played in the way he's basically before he seemed like a diesel car that we were putting unleaded in, and now it's sort of he's being played where he should.
But the graph, the graph of improvement for Joe Linton, the upward trajectory in his performances started in the reign of Steve Bruce. But
didn't it start with the reign of Graham Jones?
Yeah,
I think it was before. It was small season. We were like, we've been saying, I can't believe Joe Linton was actually quite good in that game. Anyway,
so my point on that very quickly is just that he started this outside of the training ground training and analysis in the summer. Funny.
I've just realized it's all clicking for me now. It's like the Athletic as like found a way that they can like quick, how do we distance Steve Bruce from this story in any way possible? Give everyone,
What I can take away from this, Fergus, is that you found something to be annoyed about after a win.
Yeah.
You're back in the game.
Good. So,
but I think as well, it was Steve Bruce who was playing him as a lone number nine, which is baffling when you look at
fair enough. Career. So Bedford Mag says, with the shite direct signs down, Sports Direct, Bedford, have some respect. Who would you like to see as a sponsor around the ground? Would you like to see?
I'd quite like to see Viz magazine.
Viz. What about Woman's Own? What about Vogue?
Sven's Books.
Sven's Books. Yeah. I was saying to Paul before we started recording, you know how the milk cup, well, you know, it used to be sponsored by milk, just like
the substance.
The food stuff, the cow piss.
I'd like us to be sponsored by rice.
We could just be sponsored by soil. It would be, that'd be fun.
The rice bowl.
Yeah, basically anything. But we will probably end up being sponsored by
Aramco.
Saudi Arabia.
Like, just to answer that question, like, I don't give a shit who I sponsor. Like, I truly, as long as it's not, you know, Loan Sharks R Us, I don't really give a fuck.
I think it would be a good nod to the Saudis if it was Wilkinson Sword, maybe.
I am in favour of being sponsored by companies that that we could use, other than like, I'd rather not be sponsored by a gambling company if I could. Mm. I like the days of like clubs being sponsored by like Crown Paints.
Yeah, compared to like Gazprom.
Yeah. Say that again?
Compared to like Gazprom.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to nip out at halftime to the shop and get some Gazprom.
Yeah, or like, what is it? What was Man U sponsored by? Like some
AIG.
AIG or whatever. I don't want to be sponsored by something like that, or whatever Saudi Arabian oil company we're going to end up sponsored by. I'd like to just be sponsored by Twix.
I tell you who'd be great, Newcastle Brown Ale, but
that would be all right. What were Greenalls? We were sponsored by them in the 80s, weren't they? What was Greenalls? Was that a beer?
It was a holiday company, wasn't it? Greenalls. Because it couldn't have been a beer company.
I think they were a Russian gas giant.
In the communist era.
Is it not like a cryptocurrency?
Greenalls.
I don't think so. God, what were we sponsored by? Bitcoin. Oh, that'd be awesome. Okay. What else? Anything else to talk about? Anything? Oh, Dave, you said that here's something to get terrifically excited about. Something to do with a fucking recruitment company. What is it?
Newcastle United have employed...
Hot news for football fans. A recruitment company has been hired. What is it?
Dave, do you feel like we've gone to meet our girlfriend's dad for the first time and he's a cunt? That's the vibe I'm getting from Fergus.
Pretty much, yeah.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know?
Well, I'm sure our listeners are on tenterhooks. Tell us about the recruitment company.
Newcastle United have employed a recruitment company to try and accelerate their appointment of a director of football or a transfer director or whatever they call it.
When it comes to editing, do you want me to put some fireworks over that?
this is
an example of the fucking minutiae of football fandom now.
I think it speaks to something more abstract, which I think is important, which is that these new owners have in this, it's a tacit admission that they don't know what they're doing, so have given it to people who do. And I think that's better than...
Depends on the recruitment company, doesn't it?
Sure, but
could be Reed.
Yeah. They just put something on LinkedIn. That's it.
Hope they fax their timesheets over in time on a Friday.
But no, I think it's important that they've, you know, it's a tacit admission that we need somebody who knows what they're doing to do this. And they've handed it over to, they've outsourced it, which I'd much prefer that than them bumble along in arrogance and ignorance and appoint a director of football like Dennis Wise.
I think the downside to that news, though, is it means we're going into our most important transfer window with a team of people in charge of transfers who, by their actions, have admitted they don't know what they're doing. We're not going to have a director of football before then.
Come on, Paul. Did you tell me you're not excited about the recruitment company getting involved?
Fuck off. Honestly, she's not worth it. Your daughter is not worth this bullshit.
Sorry. It's like with everything. It's because of there's a constant drip need for information to get excited about. So basically, The Athletic and The Chronicle have a desire to constantly give us things to get excited about, and it's at the level now where we're like, oh, there's a recruitment company being hired.
I mean, in our defence, we could have talked about our first win and clean sheet of the season for longer, but you didn't see it because you were swanning around the Rue de Lafayette when I was at a pottery class.
One other thing to mention is that the company that bought Strawberry Place beside the stadium has gone into administration. So we could talk about that if you like.
Sure.
Are we a town hall podcast now?
We don't have the authority.
Can you just give me a rundown of what the top five estate agents in the Newcastle area are at the moment and how that might affect the club? Right, what else? I'm just going to search through here to see if there are any questions about football. One Up Gaming says, I think with the players we have, we should still scrap 17th at worst, but with some smart loan signings, we could stay up easily, then build for next season. I think we will get three or four players in. What do you guys think? And there's, sorry if I don't name you, but you know, there's a few questions which perfectly reasonably is the common theme at the moment. Who do you think we'll buy? Who do you think we should be buying? Any other names popping up? We've mentioned, what's his name? Seymour Butts. What's his name?
Sven Botman.
Yeah. Who else?
There was an article, was it Craig Hope in the Daily Mail, was saying the list that I think a few fans have found underwhelming of some of the targets we're apparently after. So there was the former Bristol left-back who Howe signed for Bournemouth. Someone Lloyd or Lloyd somebody.
Well, Lloyd Samuel.
Might be. Not J. Lloyd Samuel.
No.
Okay. Right. Well, he sounds good. Anyone else?
Well, there's Kieran Trippier. That rumour's not going away. You've got Tarkowski and Ben Mee. There's rumours that we are willing to double their salary, but who the fuck knows? You've got Sven Botman and Jesse Lingard is, if you were to believe the report in the paper, we'll offer him 200 grand a week to come and join us. There are a couple of strikers that we've been linked with, but none of them are like really well known or are like, I don't know, they're doing it in a league that's inferior to the Premier League. So there's always the Afonso Alves risk that, you know, they're not going to make the step up. And given that we don't have anybody in place yet who is in charge of transfers, we don't really know, like, who is it going to be? Eddie Howe sorting it out? If it is, then
from the way he's been talking, he said he's concentrating on the players that he has, and I feel like, I'm sure he's got some say in it, but I feel like he's sort of allowing other people to decide on who we get transferred in. I'm sure he's given some kind of idea on the sort of players that he wants. Here's a question about Jesse Lingard, because, you know, he did great at West Ham. He's obviously a player who has a lot of talent and has sort of, what's the word, resurrected his career last season. Is he the sort of player we need, or is he more of a case of, because I would say he, although I assume he would walk into the first team, I'd say he actually sort of plays in the strongest position we have.
Yeah.
Is he more of a player who is a sort of like a statement signing?
Yeah, I think in terms of where we need to strengthen, that's sort of the least urgent. Where he plays the same, like PSG have said, they're willing to loan out Genie Wijnaldum, and apparently Arsenal are interested and we're interested, but he could come and relegate us again. But I think we need a right back, we need a centre back, and we need a centre midfielder, and we need backup for Callum Wilson. I think
if we get Wijnaldum back,
but then Wijnaldum's not the type of central midfielder that we really need, which is like the destroyer, the breaker up, the person who like wins the ball back and then plays the simple pass. That's the kind of midfielder that we're really crying out for. There are, but not at the level that we need. There's plenty of like Michael Tong, Lee Catamol types out there who are a bag of bollocks, but put a shift in. We need someone decent in that area. I think that is it. Boubacar Soumar. He's still on the radar. There's a couple of them out there. But whether or not they'd be interested in coming to a club who's currently in the relegation zone, whether they'd be interested in coming to a club where their position is, you know, it's not, you know, they really want to be in the Champions League or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to depend where we are in the league.
I just hope we don't end up signing people on loan who, I'm sure we won't be aiming to do so, but like when Bentaleb came in, there was sort of like, I think we were all hope making an argument in our heads about how he could be really good for us.
And I think the type of players we'll be looking at on loan are the ones that would disrupt the squad too much if we signed them permanently, because they'd be on sort of 50 grand a week more than our highest earners. I think loans are going to be our best option. You've suddenly got, I keep going about Aaron Ramsey, but there's that level of player who you can loan, who can make a difference to the first team. And it's not going to,
Aaron Ramsey.
It's not going to completely imbalance the squad.
I've said it before, I would love Christian Pulisic.
Yeah. But if we can take a few players on loan who at the very least provide competition for Almiron, St. Maximum, Joe Linton, Callum Wilson, for those, because the way that Eddie Howe plays, it is quite high energy, and certainly Wilson and St. Maximum got a history of picking up knocks and picking up injuries, and they might only be out for a game or two, but we need to, you know, we need to be able to compete in most of our games now. So, you know, if you pull in like Jesse Lingard and you play him like two games, and then you play Almiron for a couple of games, and then you play, like, that's fine if it's on loan, but not permanent.
So before we talk about our next match, which is against Leicester, which currently in my weekend plans, I'm expecting to miss because I'm going to be taking my son to see Clifford the Big Red Fucking Dog, which is its full title. I'm going to give you a question for Thomas Burkine, just because it's a little bit provocative, gets the people going. He says, do you think Rafa Benitez is the most overrated manager in world football? I'll throw that to you, Dave. Your face is already contorted in rage.
No. Jose Mourinho is. Is Rafa Benitez overrated? I think in some sectors, definitely. I think some people have deified him. There are plenty of issues with his style of football. I don't think he's... I don't think Everton's problems are solely his fault. I think there's been something rotten in the state of Denmark for a while. And I think that he's not got the fans on side, which is always difficult for anybody. Like Steve Bruce, your paragon, found out. It's just not working out from there. But I don't think he's overrated. He's one of the most trophied managers on the planet. So,
well, Everton, you know, are a bit of a mess, aren't they? And maybe you're right. He is overrated by some Newcastle fans.
I feel like, I'm going to reserve judgment to the end of this season on it, because I do think there is a chance he's sort of reached the end of his journey. It happens to all top managers. They reach a point where the game's evolved beyond them. Yeah. But then Everton have had such bad injury problems. And you look at their best players, it's been the ones that he's signed for next to nothing who've made an immediate impact, which suggests at least good acumen in the transfer market.
I think if he wants to keep managing because he's obsessed with football, and fair enough, I can see him sort of evolving into, rather than a, or maybe he has actually already evolved into that, like rather than a manager who used to manage top clubs, in the same way that Roy Hodgson did. He basically had a similar career trajectory to Roy Hodgson, but although perhaps with some higher highs earlier on in the career. But then just becomes a manager who sort of helps people out with relegation battles. Yeah.
But I think as well, there's a feeling at the moment that to be a good manager, you have to play a sort of a German high press. And I would say you look at David Moyes versus Ralf Hasenhüttl, I know who I'd rather have in charge. It's not, you don't have to be a high pressing team to be a good manager. I think it's just, he's not a fashionable manager at the moment, but I think...
No.
His teams as well always perform better second half of the season. We found that with him. We always started badly. So I think reserve judgment on Everton until they've got at least some of their key players back. And
I was wondering if we're destined to see a return to long ball. Because, like, you know, like high press was sort of brought into, this is my very rudimentary understanding of it, that it sort of became the sort of like the antidote to tiki-taka. And then it might become in the future, people will find that a way to beat the high press is just to fucking lump it past them.
Well, if you look at Liverpool currently, they are the most accurate long ball side around. They're really successful at playing really direct football to Salah and Mane. To get on the end of it. And I mean, it's not lumping it to a big man, but it is like a long pass up the pitch to try and get a goal early doors. So I don't doubt that we could see a return to more direct football. I just don't think it'll be long ball, which is the, you know, Burnley, Allardyce, that style of long ball.
I think in some ways we kind of play that way at the minute because we've not got the type of midfielder who can carry the ball from defence to attack. We've got Shelvey playing like he did sometimes under Bruce, almost in front of the centre-backs, pinging long balls. They seem to be a lot more direct now, and they're not as aimless as they were before, and it is helping us transition quite quickly. I don't think it's a bad system to play necessarily.
No, because you've got options up there. Sorry, very quickly, Fergus. Because we're playing like with a front three now. He's got a few options, and whichever option he picks isn't completely surrounded by two or three of the defenders, as Joe Linton was, because he was being played as a target man rather than a wide forward.
Okay, so let's go into predictions for Clifford the Big Red Dog.
I think he's going to be red.
I think he's going to be big.
He's going to be big. My son asked me, how big is Clifford the Big Red Dog? I actually don't know. How big is he? I said, maybe he's bigger than a house. How big is he? Predictions? How big?
I say big as a house, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so our next game is against Leicester on Sunday. I think it's on Sky. Where is it? Is it a home game or
it's an away game. But Leicester are playing away in Europe on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah. And isn't there, like, there's talk of there being some COVID in the Leicester camp, so maybe it'll get postponed anyway.
Well, I don't know. It's a tricky one because Leicester have said there's seven players they've not taken to their European game because of a mixture of illness and COVID. So it's unclear how many of them have COVID.
They're not on great form, are they, Leicester?
No, they won their last game. But before that, they've been pretty, I mean, better than us and Everton, but not many others.
So it's away, but we've just got our first win of the season. I mean, they have just had a victory, but come on, Paul, give me a prediction.
I think it's going to be 1-1.
Go on.
1-1.
1-1. Okay, Dave?
Not a classic, 1-1.
1-1. Okay, I'll go for 2-2. Yeah, I think we'll get a point. I'd like to think we can maintain some momentum.
I think if we win, we can go out of the bottom three this weekend, which would be, considering all the doom and gloom talk of like we're down.
It's only really Watford who've got what you'd put on paper as like a winnable game, and they're away to Brentford, and Brentford are doing quite well, and Watford are in pretty bad form. Everybody else has got like Man U, like Leeds have got Chelsea, and Leeds are battered by injury. Norwich have got like Burnley have got Man U. I can't remember who Norwich have got, but I don't think it fucking matters. So it is possible if we beat Leicester and Watford lose, I think there's got to be a 3-goal swing, but it's possible we could get out of the bottom three. The big thing for us is just building a bit more, you know, momentum and staying in touch. One thing I wanted to mention is we got Cambridge in the FA Cup third round. I haven't seen them since 1992.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, FA Cup third round. Are we at home or away?
Home. You'd fancy that.
Yeah.
Hope so. Okay, well, we'll talk about that close to the time. But in the meantime, thank you very much to Dave Watson.
Cheers, Fergus.
Thank you, Paul Doolan.
Thank you.
And thank you to Steve Bruce and you, the Newcastle Knitter. Bye.
Newcastle Knitter Leicester.
Are you okay, Fergus?
Yeah.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.